Good morning and greetings in Jesus' name. I was unaware of Brother Larry's passing until I walked into the building this morning. I was notified of that. So had I known that, I could have maybe tailored the message to something that would have maybe ministered to you in a better way. Just a memory of Larry. I met him here for the first time that I had ever seen him. I don't know, probably 10 years ago or so. I don't know the time. But I've been inspired by Larry. I got on his email list of devotionals at that time. And so I was always impressed with his efforts to inspire those around him. With his physical condition as it was, he was still energetic in trying to touch people for the Lord. And that's a tremendous testimony for a man. And it never ceases to amaze me also is how sad the passing of a brother or sister is, and so grand yet at the same time. And so there's some mixed emotions, I'm sure. So God be with you during this time. Greet you in Jesus' name. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 3. Verse 18 is where our title is taken from. And I like to read. It's the passage of the Laodicean church. The title taken from verse 18, and verse 18 says it this way: I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. The title is Buy of Me Gold Tried in the Fire. Let's read now, starting at verse 14 through 22. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increase with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. I found a quote this week that someone had posted, and it was inspirational to me, and I thought it fit the goal of, or the core thought of the message that we'd like to bring. And it goes like this: the purpose of life, as far as I can tell, is to find a mode of being that's so meaningful that the fact that life is suffering is no longer relevant. Did you get that? The purpose of life, as far as I can tell, this is a quote, is to find a mode of being that's so meaningful that the fact that life is suffering is no longer relevant. That's attributed to Jordan Peterson Society. As I look at this passage, I find that there is instruction given, that there is a mode of being that is so meaningful that the fact of life is suffering is no longer relevant. And I find, as I look at this passage, that the Laodicean church had found a mode of being that they thought was so meaningful that the fact that life is suffering was no longer relevant. They thought they had found that. And they were rebuked. and counseled to buy gold tried in the fire, that they would be rich, that they would truly have that mode of being. So, backing up now, the title. The title tells me that there is a voice speaking. Who is speaking? Let's turn to Revelation chapter 1 to find who is speaking. Revelation 1, 9 through 20. I don't know if I read all the verses. So John is in the Isle of Patmos. I, John, verse 9, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, and unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. I'll cease reading there. Who is speaking? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is speaking. So this, the title of Buy of Me Gold, I counsel of thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. It is the voice of Jesus Christ. It is his counsel. And he is, and Jesus is speaking to the angel. We'll see that, and we saw that in chapter 3. He's speaking unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans. Angel, I believe, meaning the messenger, or we can, in our language today, the preacher. Jesus Christ was speaking to the preacher of the church of Laodiceans. And that is an interesting, that's a subject, it could be a subject on its own, that as to why the message is coming to the messenger and not to the entirety of the church. But it is the messenger, as Jesus is speaking to the preacher, the messenger, it is his responsibility to take that message and give it to the assembly. And so the setting is that there is an assembly of people, and it's called a church. And it's in the city of Laodicea. Laodicea was located in the Asia Minor on a major trade route that connected it to the major cities like Ephesus, Smyrna, and Sardis. And it was a center of textile production and banking. And they were wealthy, a very wealthy city. In fact, in some of my study, I found that approximately 60 years after this writing, the city was destroyed, almost completely destroyed by an earthquake. And when the government of Rome offered their assistance to help rebuild the city of Laodicea, they said, we don't need you, we have our own money. They were wealthy, and they rebuilt, and they did rebuild it with their own money. Very wealthy city. And we find, in general, that this assembly of people at Laodicea receives divine evaluation of its works. It says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. So it was receiving, this church, this assembly of people, was receiving divine evaluation of their works, who they were, who they are. And then there's a divine remedy, and it's an invitation to correct course. And so the ultimate voice of authority of Jesus Christ comes to the messenger, the preacher. It is his responsibility to convey the message to the assembly. It is the preacher's responsibility to convey the rebuke upon sin in the church. He is responsible for and to give direction to repent of that sin. Communicate that. And the purpose is that people, the individuals that make up the assembly, would make the corrections and be in right relationship with God, to be truly saved, to find that mode of being that is so meaningful that the fact that life is suffering is no longer relevant. That's what the invitation is. That's what the purpose of this is. I'd like to go now to more practical thinking of how does this relate to us today. First area, there is a divine voice speaking to us today. I'd like to go to Hebrews chapter 1. Verses 1 and 2. As we think about this voice of authority, the voice of Jesus Christ that is giving this divine evaluation of the church, we have that today. Hebrews 1, chapter 1, 1 and 2. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. I will cease reading there for now. And so, there is a divine voice speaking to us today. We have the voice, we have the word of Jesus Christ. It is, the Bible, the word of Jesus Christ is speaking to us. And it should be sobering to us and important to us to understand the credentials of the one speaking. Back to Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. The first verse we read, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen. The Amen, the so be it, the forever, the absolute, the unchanging. This is the credential, some of the credentials of the divine voice that is speaking to us today. We flip back to Hebrews where we just were in Hebrews chapter 1. Let's read verses 3 to 5 now. So he's saying we have this. In these last days, God is speaking to us by his Son, who being in the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he hath by himself purged our sins and sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I would be to him a father, and he shall be my son. Jesus Christ. These are the credentials of the one speaking. This is no ordinary voice that spoke to the church of Laodicea. It is no ordinary voice that speaks to us today. It is a voice of absolute credentials. It has all the necessary. It has the entirety. And it is to our own damnation to ignore or disregard the voice of the Holy. We do well to lift higher and higher and higher the word of the Lord. We do more than do well. We must. So God has spoken to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible is the Son, Jesus Christ, speaking to us. We find that in St. John, as turned there. So St. John 1. In other words, we heard in the Sunday school lesson, I was so inspired by that. I want to mention that as well. The Sunday school lesson was so inspirational to me. And we heard that Jesus is not with us physically today. But Hebrews says that in these last days, Jesus is speaking to us. How is he speaking to us? Where do we get that? St. John chapter 1, 1 through 5, in the beginning was the Word. And we find that we can interchange the Word with Jesus. So in the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was the life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So this word that we have in our hands is the word of Jesus Christ. It is what we need. It is how he speaks to us. It is him speaking. Important to understand that. We can go to John 17. There'd be many verses, but John 17:17 says, sanctify them. Jesus in his high priestly prayer, speaking of the church, his disciples, those that follow him, his followers, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Jesus speaking to us through his word. And he can sanctify us by his truth, by his voice, through his word, which is him. Second part of the message, divine evaluation is occurring right now. Divine evaluation is occurring right now. As we go to the little story of the Laodicean church, there was an evaluation, and there is a record of that. And we maybe we don't often think about this truth that is happening as we live our life, as we live congregational life, as we live church life, as we live our personal life, that there is a divine evaluation occurring as we live. And so we do well to ask ourselves the question, who do I believe that I am? Who do I think that I am? And what do I believe about my standing with God? And then ask the question, why? So who am I? I'm a Christian. I'm serving the Lord. It's who I believe I am. I hope that's who you believe you are. I believe I'm in right standing with God. And I hope that's your testimony. But why? Why? Because the Laodicean church thought they were right with God. And we'll look at that a little later. He said, thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind. He said, and thou knowest it not. He said, thou knowest it not. So who do you think you are? What is your standing with God? Have you thought about that? Because there is something going on within our hearts, within our minds as to who we are in our relationship with God. And we have a certain belief about that. But there's also a divine evaluation going on. There's someone that truly knows. And so then we ask the question, what does the Word say about my standing with God? What does the Word say about my works? What does the Word say about where my sins are? See, the verdict is in for the Laodicean church. The verdict is in. He says it is lukewarm in verse 16. He said, you are lukewarm. In verse 16, he also says that the relationship with Christ is about to be severed. Did you notice that as we read through it? That's in that Jesus, that the word to the messenger was from Jesus, is because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. And I believe that means that the relationship was about to be severed. The verdict was in. You are lukewarm. This is your work. This is who you are. It is a divine evaluation. It is a correct evaluation. You are lukewarm. I wish you were cold or wish you were hot, and I am about to spew thee out of my mouth. Relationship severed. That means lost. That means lost for eternity. That means not going to heaven to be with God. That means going into eternal hell because of sin. That's what it means. Relationship severed. Because of the divine evaluation, place them where in the reality of their standing, the reality of their works. So See, the verdict is in for us as well. Are we aware of the verdict? In other words, are we reading the Word? Are we being honest with who we are and what the Word says that we are? It's here. The verdict is in. The verdict is in. Third area of the message, divine invitation is being offered right now. Divine invitation is being offered right now. We could maybe say divine counsel is being offered right now. Divine remedy is being offered right now. And that is in the title that was given, Buy of Me Gold Tried in the Fire. Buy of me gold tried in the fire. We know even in today's world, gold is a very valuable, I guess I'll call it a commodity. Not quite the right word. A very valuable substance. And it is interesting to me, just as a side note, as you go back into, you start in Genesis and you find that gold was valuable. Gold is a valuable substance. And as we in this current society, in the current economy, gold is important. We go, and Scripture is using that knowledge of individuals that understand the value of gold and bringing it to bear into spiritual likeness. Buy of me gold. The part that says tried in the fire, well, first of all, this gold is Jesus Christ. There is no greater value than Jesus Christ. He is the gold standard. He was tried in the fire as he went through his betrayal, his trial, his crucifixion. He was tried in the fire. And the Scripture says that he was tempted as like in all points as we, yet without sin. He is the gold standard. He is this gold. So the message to the messenger, the preacher, to pass on to the people is that you are lukewarm, you have need, you're wretched, you're poor, you're blind, and all of that. And he's saying, but try me. I am Jesus Christ. I am the remedy for your wretchedness. I am the remedy for your poverty. I am the remedy for your wickedness, for your lukewarmness. This is Jesus' invitation to true salvation. Buy of me gold tried in the fire. Thinking of buying gold and the terminology that's used here, how do you buy Jesus? How do you buy that? Well, this terminology is not new to Scripture. You go to Isaiah 55:1, could really, I think, be considered a companion Scripture. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come and buy wine and milk without money and without price. How do we get something? How do you buy something without money, without price? It's a language used that means purchase to yourselves. Purchase to yourselves. And probably purchase isn't even a word. So we're so used to accumulating things or getting things by an exchange of something. You give that to get this. You pay this to get that. And so the wording is used and such. So when you buy something without price or you buy this gold tried in the fire, what does it mean? It means purchase to yourself this gold. And it's meaning further, to purchase to ourselves that pure truth which truly saves the soul and cleanses away the sin and makes you holy and gifts you with spiritual eyesight. This is Jesus Christ. It is the truth. It is the pure truth. And so this goal is Jesus Christ. It is the pure truth. To purchase it is to realize that, to realize his work in our behalf on the cross and to cleanse ourselves, allow him to cleanse us by his blood, by receiving that gift of salvation. Jesus' love for us is so deep that he offers the remedy for sin while pointing it out. And I love that about this scripture in Revelation 3. 17. He points out their sin. He said, you say that you're rich and increased with goods, and you say that you have need of nothing, and you don't know that you're wretched and miserable and poor and blind. And so he's offering the remedy. I'm sorry, I wanted to read 19. So the point is that Jesus' love is so deep that he offers the remedy for sin while pointing it out. That's in 19. And as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. He's rebuking their sin. The chastening is that he is the rebuke. When we find out that we are not in proper relationship with God, when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, when the Word speaks to us that we are in error, there is guilt that comes upon us, and that is the chastening of God. And you'll see it here. Jesus is making them aware of their sin, and they are being rebuked and chastened because of his love, making them aware of their position. And he's offering this remedy. He says, be zealous, therefore. Be energetic and repent. Make some proper moves. Repent. So he points out the sin. He loves us so much. He loves us so deeply that he offers the remedy for sin while pointing it out. He loves us too much to let us be wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. He loves us too much to let us go through life in that state. He loves us so much, he points out that sin because he don't want us to live life that way. He points it out because in this case, they did not know. But when you get to the end of this story, the Laodicean church, and after the preacher did his work, in telling that congregation, which I believe that's what it's teaching here, the preacher goes to that assembly, and following that, there is not a single one in this assembly that didn't know. They now know. And that is the promise that we have, that we will not go through the entirety of our life without the Word of God approaching us and giving us a divine evaluation of where we are. It is a comfort. It must be a comfort. So all the guilt that comes from... But the guilt is what is to propel us, the knowing, the reading, the hearing of the Word, the voice of Jesus that gives us our position, where we are in our relationship. That voice that gives it, yes, the guilt may come, but that is to propel us to make moves so that we can be right with God. To buy of that gold that was tried in the fire. He was crucified. He shed his blood for us so that we can be in right relationship with him. He loves us too much to let us go on in ignorance and be lost. And he is speaking to us today through his word. And so, as we discuss this morning, the question that comes to us is, have we purchased to ourselves this salvation? Have you? Have I? Have you purchased to yourself this salvation? That is, have you believed on the name of the Lord Jesus and accepted his sacrifice for your sin? Have you? This is the question that needs to be asked. That's what he wanted. That's what Jesus was telling the church at Laodicea. Buy of this gold. I want you to be in right relationship with me. And he's saying in verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him or her and will sup with him or her and him or her with me. A relationship that has been corrected, that is now on course. have you purchased to yourself this salvation? So it is the time of consideration and choice. Is Jesus Christ my Savior and Lord? Is he? Or am I wretched and miserable? Or am I joyful and happy? And it's an interesting thing to think about as we look at the church of Laodicea. So they didn't know. They didn't know that they were wretched and miserable and so on. They had put their wealth in a place where their focus was there, and this was their mode of being that was so important to them. How does it go? The mode of being that's so meaningful that the fact that life is suffering is no longer relevant. And so the unknowingness had something to do with, I believe, their wealth and what they had put in place as the most meaningful thing. And so they weren't aware that they were unhappy. They weren't aware that they were wretched because they were living this life. They were living this good life. But and so when Jesus gives the word that they're wretched and miserable, he's meaning, I believe, and it is true for us today as well, that if we are wretched and miserable, it means that our eternity is not secured for heaven. Our eternity. And so this morning, any of us that are in this audience, if we do not know that our eternity is sure through Jesus Christ, then we are wretched and miserable and blind and poor and naked. Because our eternity is not secure in Jesus Christ. Maybe you don't like the word secure. Sure. As we live for him. Am I poor? That is there sin in my life that is not taken care of? That is not forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ? Are my eyes blind, or are they enlightened to the things of God? Am I exposing the shamefulness of sinful choices? This is obedience. Are my eyes enlightened to the things of God? Am I clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ by trusting in him for my salvation? Are the purposes of my life built on the singular focus of pleasing God? This is worship. A singular focus. We heard about that in Sunday school as well. It's so true. It seems like life is busier than it's ever been. It seems like we're processing more information than we ever have. And I don't know if that's true, but it sure seems that way. And it's so easy for us not to be focused on the things that we need to be focused on. Not to be focused on that Jesus is my Savior. My sins are taken care of. I am trusting him for my forgiveness while walking in obedience. What we need to learn from the Laodicean church. And I asked myself the question as I studied this, what was their sin? What was it? I believe their sin was to trust something other than Jesus Christ for their salvation. It was the loss of the centrality of Jesus Christ. I believe that's what it was. They trusted in something else. Their eyes had turned to their wealth. And possibly, they believe that their wealth, that their good life was proof that God's favor was upon them. I don't know what their thoughts were. It doesn't really say here. It just says that they're lukewarm and the relationship with Jesus was about to be cut off and that they're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and so on. The language does relate to the businesses that they were in and how they had accumulated their wealth. He's counseling them to buy of gold because they understood wealth. And Jesus is saying, but you don't really have it. And he's saying, this white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, because they were a textile city. And so they made a lot of cloth and so on, but Jesus said, you don't have the right kind. You think you have it. You think you have this gold. And you think you have this cloth. And you think you have this eye salve. It's another thing they I believe, produced and sold there, if I understand correctly. And they thought they had this eye salve. But Jesus said, you need all of these things from me because you don't have the real and the true. And so their eyes had turned away from Jesus Christ. And so I think their sin, I think simply put, was they had turned their eyes to something other than Jesus Christ. They were trusting in something else for their salvation. They believed that they were right with God. And so I say it in this way. I believe they were religious, but not righteous. What does that mean for us today? I go to church. I keep the standards. I'm involved in evangelistic work. Go down a whole list of things that we might be involved in church work that could prove that we're religious. But the question is this morning, am I righteous through the blood of Jesus Christ? Am I righteous? And I believe, secondly, they were moral, but not holy. I don't read here that they were involved in immorality, in the sins of the flesh. It seems as though they were decent people. It seems that way. I don't read otherwise. And so is that possible for us today that we're good people? We're good. We don't make a lot of mistakes, but we're not holy because we have not applied the blood of Jesus Christ. Moral, but not holy. Thirdly, it appears that they were sound, but not saved. Sound, but not saved. And I know we're talking about right on the line here because they are called a church. And as of the reading of these verses, they had not yet been cut off. But it was imminent. It was imminent. And Jesus was, the message to them was, buy of this gold and repent or you will be cut off. And so the evaluation upon them is that they were sound but not saved. And so how is it with each of us this morning? How is it with you? How is it with me? And for whatever reason, have our eyes turned away from Jesus Christ and we're living some type of life like this that we're lukewarm and our eyes have turned to our wealth, our good life, our religious setting, our upbringing, whatever it is. And we're religious but not righteous. Or maybe we're moral but not holy. And maybe we're sound but not saved. And you're going to have to answer that question for yourself this morning. Because I can't see in your hearts. And the Holy Spirit, we had a whole Sunday school lesson on Him. And He will minister to your heart. And maybe you came to this service not knowing, as the Laodiceans didn't know. But through the Word, through the Sunday school lesson, through the preaching of the Word, now you know. And maybe there's guilt upon your heart now. That's not a bad thing. That is to propel you in the direction of Jesus Christ. Flee to the cross. Flee to the Savior. Make those corrections. So, are you saved by the blood of Jesus Christ? And as a result, are you walking in obedience to the Word? I'd just like to read in closing Revelation 3, 20 to 22. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. And to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Shall we pray?